And welcome with that to the Movie Maidens podcast.
The Groovy Movie Maidens podcast.
The Groovy Movie Maidens podcast. As always, you're joined by us, the Maidens. I'm Dorsa.
I'm Morgan.
And I'm Margot.
And we're continuing with our Halloween hangover theme because we can't let it go. Guys, we can't move on. We love Halloween.
We love Halloween.
We freaking love it so much. And today's topic is horror B-movies.
Ooh. Just in case you couldn't guess from the Evil Dead clip.
Yeah. Everyone loves a good B-movie. And I'm not talking about the freaking one with Jerry Seinfeld.
I was going to make the exact same joke, like word for word, I was going to say, and she's not talking about the one with
Jerry
Seinfeld.
And I'm not talking about the one where Patrick Warburton's character gets cucked by a bee.
Bro, I'd be so mad if I was him.
I would.
Valid crash out.
I don't think there is, like, I did the chaos that I would bring in the world. It would be ridiculous, but... Talking about B-movies, we start a little with Evil Dead. I kind of wanted to start this episode with talking about what are we classifying as a B-movie? So just with that, what do you guys, like whether it's correct or not, like what do you usually think of when you think of B-movie? What categorizes a movie as that versus any other kind of, I guess, A-list Hollywood movie?
I guess like involvement. Or I guess lack of involvement from Hollywood, like low budget. Mm-hmm. You're doing it with your friends. Sometimes not though. Sometimes like it is kind of from a studio in my mind, but like the budget is so low and the studio's like, whatever, do what you fucking want. Like I don't fucking care.
Yeah. I imagine it like super low budget, but like in my head, like this is incorrect. And I know that this
is
incorrect.
That's okay.
But in my head, there aren't like modern B movies. It's just like all from like the 20th century kind of, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, B movies from like the 80s or B movies from like the 70s.
Do you think of like B-list actors being in them?
Like you think of like Elvira and you think of all that good stuff. And like so in my head, if someone was like, well, I don't know if this does classify, but if someone was like, oh, scary movies a B movie, I'd be like, is it?
Yeah.
But that's just because that's just my own personal bias.
Yeah, I tend to also think of them as older, but I think it's that like camp aspect associated with B movies. But I was like watching this like Val Lewton documentary who did cat people and a bunch of different like old ass horror movies, and like apparently with the like B movies like. It's not that people took like, or was this something different? No, this was John Waters talking about Vincent Price. Sorry, this is a different thing where he was like, oh, like people say that he was like a camp actor, like a B-list actor. But like he always like acted like A, like it was like he like elevated the material. So I think 100%. That a lot of people in the industry like consider like don't really see like B-list actors as like B-list actors, like especially if you have like a favorite.
Yeah, 100%. You guys bring up some good points. I wrote down what I initially, before doing like a lot of research for it, I associate with having a lower budget, you know, not a big blockbuster, high budget Hollywood thing. I think of initial reactions to it and like also like critics' opinions. Like a lot of what I associate being a B movie is something that wasn't maybe received the best when it first came out, but then becomes kind of like a cult classic. Mm-hmm. Again, because example that comes to mind is one of my favorite movies, Jennifer's Body. Really did not do that well, but now like people love it, including me. I also put down, you know, the like release or distribution like range or scope, like how widely available it is, because if something has a higher budget, obviously it's going to be on like every streaming platform and this and that. But I also found this list on Letterboxd when I was looking for B movies for this, a list by someone, the user Tristan BK, and this is their definition that they put of B movies. they have it as kind of two definitions. One being historical B movies, which they say are kind of second features, usually shorter genre movies that played after the main picture, like Cat People, 1942. So, like, I think that's technically where the actual definition of B movie comes from, when there used to be,
yeah,
you know,
it's
multiple
a B
movies.
Slot. Yeah.
Exactly. It's not the main attraction. And a lot of times, I think we learned about this in one of our film history classes, where they'd be like, okay, if you want to get this movie, you also have to get this kind of like catalog.
Yeah.
Of movies with it.
Yeah.
And I think kind of Cat People was one of those. And they also have in their second definition, which is the modern definition, which is a cheap genre picture made outside of the Hollywood studio system, often with elements of schlock, camp, gore, etc.
So we're right, is what I'm hearing, as per this definition.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to shout out this little definition, because I think this really perfectly sums up both the older and current kind of definition of it. And I think, like, usually people nowadays, what they think of is an amalgamation of the two, unless they kind of don't know much about film history, which is completely fair enough. We're just nerds about it, which is why we have a whole freaking podcast about it.
And we're getting degrees on it, too.
No, literally.
Damn.
Oh, that's kind of embarrassing.
Oh my
guys,
God.
That's a little embarrassing. What did you study? Movies. I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
But actually, guys, I was getting my computer... Little anecdote. I was getting my computer fixed over the winter break. Winter break? What the F am I actually talking about? Over reading week. And this, like, random Persian guy came in the store and was, like, talking to us because he realized my mom and I were Persian. And he's like, are you a university student? And I was like, yes. He's like, I love university students. Like, I'm, like a professor of mechanical engineering or whatever at the University of Tehran. And I'm like, well, that's awesome. He's like, what do you study? I'm like, I study film. And he's like, that is freaking awesome. He was like, you got it right. Like, I think everyone that goes into, like, science and math and stuff is a fucking idiot. Like, he's like, we're the crazy ones. You got it right. I'm so proud of you. I was like, thank you, bro.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that reaction when you started telling that story.
All, like one of my best friends is in STEM. She's getting a science degree or whatever. Mm. Anyways, she's going to be an orthodontist.
Okay.
Anyways, but she literally, like, her and all her friends are in STEM, and, like, anytime that she tells them about me, she's like, oh yeah, she's in a film degree, and they all think it's the coolest thing ever, and I'm like, no. What?
I know, right?
Like, what? I'm like, huh?
Like, my friend Bahar, shout out Bahar, she's studying mechanical engineering, a 5-year degree at University of Waterloo. I'm like, I'm studying film. She's like, I could never do that. And I'm like, what do you mean?
No, yeah, my friend Kiana, that's what I'm talking about. She was literally like, oh my God, like, I just had to write an essay for class. Like, I went into science, so I didn't have to do that. How are you doing that for every exam? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
I'm like, what are you talking? I have to just be like, this movie was fun because this guy in the 40s said that this angle was good.
Yeah.
Bro, literally, this happened to me this week too. Like, like, my mom was like, you're so creative. How do you do that? Like, I'm like, I just do it. I don't know.
It is good though, film major, because people are like, oh, what are you studying? Oh, well, actually, movies. And then you could talk about it, and it is topical.
Everyone likes movies, man.
Everybody likes
movies. No matter what you study, no matter what your job is, at the end of the day, you want to come home and put on something to entertain you, and it's going to usually be like a movie or a TV show or something. So, also, just, you know, mandatory fuck AI. You're not taking my freaking job. I will freaking strangle a robot with my own hands. I don't care.
We were literally in a group today doing a project, and we had to make a graph on, coincidentally, Evil Dead.
Yes.
Our group did, and like, the budget versus the profit. Mm-hmm. Anyways, and one guy in our group was like, what if we just put it through AI? And we were like, what?
And in the instructions, it literally said no AI.
And I was like, I'm literally making the graph on Google Sheets right now. Like, I was like, I'm just typing in the numbers wrong.
And he kept saying it and kept saying it. And I was like, well, how about we use our brain, though?
And then he didn't participate in the group.
Yeah.
And it was like, bruh.
Captain of the AI ship.
Sorry, bro, if you hear this. You're getting put on blast for using AI. I'm sorry. That's what happens. That's how
the cookie
crumbles.
Listen, like, it actually, like, number one threat to job security for anyone in the arts. If anyone's listening to this and, like, you're not an artsy-fartsy fart head and you're, like, in STEM or whatever, please, if you have any friends or family that's in any creative industry and you care about them at all, please look into how awful AI is, not just for your brain, not just for job security, not just for the environment. Please take a second to think twice about it.
And I actually saw a video that was saying, like, by us just, like, blaming, like, oh, AI is, like, ruining everything, whatever, whatever. We're actually, like, not holding the humans responsible for creating AI to it. It's like, no, this is part of, like, it's called like it's like an engine thing. Like ChatGPT is part of like OpenAI, and yes. OpenAI is a company, yeah. and it's like mm-hmm. everyone's just blaming ChatGPT, but you should be blaming the people that invented it yeah. at OpenAI.
Yeah, because it's generative AI, and like there's this new like Sora AI is out now, and it's like my mom showed me a video the other day, and she's like, look at this, and I'm like, that's AI, and she's like, you're joking, and like she was so scared that she couldn't tell the difference.
No, literally, it's getting so like good.
It is. You know, maybe we'll do an episode on AI in film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because so I think we all have a lot to say about it.
Yes.
Clearly.
Bro, segue. Because I remember when Bruce Campbell started posting AI yes. on his Instagram, and we were so mad.
Or like, peepaw, no.
Because, bro, we've mentioned this before, definitely, but me and Dorsa are like the biggest Bruce Campbell fans in the world. We will convert you, Morgan.
Genuinely, like I he knows who, and you know this fits perfectly into our topic of horror B movies, because like the Evil Dead series, like it's still going on. Like yes, it's maybe all the new movies aren't, you know, directed by Sam Raimi, or have Bruce Campbell involved, but
he usually does cameos. I think he has a cameo yeah. in both of them,
which is freaking awesome. But Sam Raimi, like a lot of his early stuff was kind of B movie stuff. Even
yeah, Evil Dead is B movie.
Evil Dead, oh yeah. Even a little bit later, his film Drag Me to Hell is still, that's considered yeah. kind of a horror B movie. And I don't know. I think just like talking generally about like the appeal of B movies, I think it fits well with the horror genre, because again, we kind of think of it as like a genre type thing with like very gory, campy, and I think for a lot of people, I'll just say for me personally, I like the thought of, like, I associate B-movies with, like, not taking themselves as seriously.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. For
sure, like, yeah. a level of self-reflexivity and kind of just, like, having fun with it, and with that, since you don't have all these, like, you know that the film you're making isn't going to be up for any Oscars, like, I think you're, like, filmmakers tend to be a little bit more bold and brave with social commentary and political mm-hmm. implications, because they know it's not going to appeal to that, like,
hegemony.
My brain actually couldn't stop saying it. Yeah, hegemony and kind of like big, you know, it's not for mass appeal necessarily in the same way that like Hollywood movies are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you just want to sit down with your girls and you want to watch a beautiful man be attacked. Bloodied and beaten up
over and over again,
and his shirt gets ripped open and you can see his pecs, and you know mm-hmm. like there's blood all over him, and there's blood all over him again.
Oh, now his beautiful hair is slick and it's shiny and it's curling ever so slightly.
Bro, one of my favorite Evil Dead facts is that they like put so much blood on Bruce Campbell and on his like outfit for Ash, like the blue shirt. And they, like, hung it by, like, a fireplace or something, I think, to dry. And literally, they were like, okay, like, you know, we're back on set, like, break over. Or it was, like, the next day or something. And he went to put it on, and it just shattered in his hands. like, literally, like, he couldn't even open it. Like, it just broke apart.
Oh, my God.
That's how much blood. There's, like, they put, like, gallons of blood on him. Like, you haven't seen the film, Morgan, but there's one part where the walls, like, open up, and they just spray blood on him. Like, it's, like, going in his mouth. It's like going ridiculous. In his eyes.
Have you seen It Chapters 1 and 2?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, you know the scene where
she's in the bathroom and there's blood?
Yeah, like think that level of blood.
Okay, I mean, I was isn't there like blood in the elevator in The Shining?
Yeah, yes. yeah, like the river of blood.
Yeah, I was kind of picturing that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, but imagine that, but if it was being like released out of like a fireman's hose, like in a person's face.
High pressure.
Mm.
It's like high pressure blood.
My dream PD job.
Yes, no. actually.
Okay, on that though, I actually will say I love the production design of so many horror B movies. Because
me too.
I love the schlockiness. Like, even, okay, let's bring up one of my favorite movies, Brain Damage.
Yes.
Like, the production design is so good. Like, the fact that he has, like, a Bauhaus poster in his room, and then later mm-hmm. he goes to a goth club. I was like, yes! Like, like, and like even the apartment, like it looks like two guys that, you know, looked like him and his brother, like that are like living together, and it's like you get the sense like, oh, this guy could be depressed, and then like, I don't know, and like the blue of freaking Elmer, like it's so blue. It's so like blue. It's so blue, and I feel like blue, like that color blue isn't maybe something you associate with like horror movies, like especially like, I don't know, I, like you think of like a bright red, right? Like I like that they went with the blue, because it's like Gatorade or something, like it's like, why is it blue?
Doesn't
like,
Brian have blue eyes
too? He has brown eyes. He's beautiful. Brown eyes.
That's right. Sorry.
I've
my
looked
bad.
At so many photos of him.
Yeah, Brian from Brain Image is a Dorsa favorite. Well, and yes. a me favorite. We were actually shocked. We watched it together for the first time. We were shocked by his beauty.
He is very beautiful.
And I was like, why has he been in like nothing else? He was in like The Young and the Restless, and like he plays some like assaulter or something. Yeah. Like it's redonkulous. But Brain Damage, 1998, directed by Frank Henenlotter. Fun fact, a different film by this director, I might look it up in a little bit to get the exact name, but is one of James Gunn's favorite, this is one of James Gunn's favorite directors, and his first film is kind of like a homage, or is like inspired by one of Frank Henenlotter's films, which I think is awesome, because outside of the horror and gothic class that we took with our absolute goat, Dr. Drew Jeffries,
I
don't hear a lot of people talking about Brain Damage.
Like, I had never heard of it.
Me neither.
I had never heard of it, and like even like I can barely find any like stills from it. Like there's barely any fan art. Like there, it's like not a lot. Even though I think like a lot of people. Hey, if you guys like schlocky horror movies, if you like beautiful men. If you like
gay allegories, and allegories for addiction,
if you like goth music, goth clubs, if you like Bauhaus, I guess check out Brain Damage, because I think it's kind of a hidden gem, honestly. Like even among like specifically like niche like horror like fans and stuff, like I really don't like hear it talked about.
Me neither.
No,
I think it's a visually stunning film. I think it was very bold and brave. For coming out in 1998 with like the kind of AIDS allegories they have, the addiction allegories they have, even just addiction straight up.
Yeah.
Addiction
to Elmer and his juice?
Yeah.
Yes, it's like his thing. Also, like Loki addresses like the weird phenomenon of like old white guys being obsessed with like African culture and like being like, I need to collect every single African mask I see and this and that, because like the whole thing is like he's kind of disturbing something that like isn't his right to disturb, like isn't his whole thing, and that's how he's unleashed this monster. And he's also like Elmer, he's like juicing him for his own good and like in the beginning, and that's how he like breaks out. But at the end of the day though, it's so fun.
It is. It's a trip.
It's a fun watch, guys. If you need a movie to watch this spooky season, Brain Damage, guys.
Watch Brain Damage.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
But talking about some other B films, B horror movies, Morgan, you mentioned that you've seen It Follows and all of the It.
Oh, wait. It Follows, is that the one with the STD?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Okay,
my bad.
Never mind.
I actually thought that you were talking about It with Pennywise.
That's completely fine.
Sorry.
But It Follows, we haven't seen it, we all know what it's about. Again, horror B movie. What if the monster was a sexually transmitted infection?
So interesting.
So interesting, so creative. And we also learned about this a little bit in our horror and gothic class, and how they create kind of the sense of like almost like dissonance, like with how all the cars on the streets are kind of like of a different time. They're kind of like older cars, but like it's a modern kind of story about these teenagers that are, you know, fucking and sucking on each other and like killing each other by doing that.
Yeah, I think our friend Parker, who was on last episode, really likes It Follows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it follows. I don't know. Like, I remember when I, because I'd heard about the film. I'm like, yeah, It Follows. Yeah, yeah. And then I found out what it was about, and I was like, wait, really? That's actually freaking pretty cool.
Yeah. You should watch it.
Yeah, we should watch it. Bro, this kind of reminds me of this one super, because I'm really into watching the Hammer horror films, mm-hmm. which are like pretty explicitly B movies. And
what are they?
They like do like the like Frankenstein films. Like they're like the Universal movie monster people. Mm. They're a British production company. Curse of Frankenstein. I actually watched part of that the other night, and it was crazy because it was John Carpenter. And he did a double feature where it was first the original Frankenstein and then it was Curse of Frankenstein. And it was really, really interesting because, like, they made Frankenstein so evil. Like, Dr. Frankenstein. Like, the guy whose brain he takes, he, like, pushes him off of, like the ledge of his house. Like, he knows he's, like, a scientific mind. And the guy's like, where are you, like, literally before he kills him, he's like, where are you going to get this brain from, Herr Frankenstein? Like where are you going to get that from? Like, it can't be ethical, like, what you're doing. Like, I think you should spend more time with your wife. Because his wife is like, babe, like, stop being in the lab and spend time with me. And then, like, he says all of this and he backs up his wife. And he's like, yeah, spend more time with your wife, dude. Like, get out of the lab. It's okay. And, like, he's, like, clearly, like, not happy he said that. And then, like, I think those two things combined with the fact that he's, like, a huge, scientific mind, he, like, kills him. And then he's like, oh, you can bury him in my cemetery on my estate. What? And then he digs him up and takes his brain. But somebody's onto him. And he's like, what are you doing with his body? Are you taking his brain? And Frankenstein's like, no. What? This isn't his brain. Like, well, no. And he's got, like, the brain in the satin bag. And the guy's like, I know the brain's in there. I know it's in, like, a jar or whatever. And they're fighting over it. And he, like, smashes it, the guy. Like, and he's like, no, the brain. No, it's damaged. And then I was okay, enough. Brain's damaged?
Yo.
Literally. Tie back.
That's crazy.
That's actually not even the movie I was thinking of. I was thinking of Dracula AD 1972 or 5 or something.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me about that. And then Countess my dad Dracula? Recommended that to me.
There you go.
Countess Dracula or no?
No, Dracula AD. It might not be a Hammer. I might be wrong.
It is Hammer.
Yeah.
Because they did 8 sequels to their first Dracula.
That's this is so many. One of their last ones. Yeah, they're like super duper B movies. But I was thinking about it in relation to brain damage because there's like, I think there's like a vampire cult of sorts. It's run by Alucard, who's related to Dracula, because that's Dracula backwards.
Backwards, yeah.
And
because there's that whole thing in like the original lore, or whatever. It's like he can only go by. There's like a thing name in like older, very very older like vampire stuff. That's like you can only go by your name or like some other combination of it. Because that's in Carmilla too.
Yeah.
Wow. Where it's like the Karnsteins or whatever, like.
Oh, because wouldn't that tie back to probably, like, the dirt, too? Like, you have to take your ancestral dirt, like, it's a piece of you.
Yeah, and but, like, I think it comes from, like, actual, like, vampire, like, mythos, like, that exists in different cultures. Because, like, Carmilla predates Dracula.
Yeah, wow.
And it's, like, it's a novella. So, but, like, it's drawing on a lot of, like, European kind of different cultural, like, beliefs.
Superstitions.
Stuff like that. So, okay. I don't know exactly where it originates from, but it's, like, an older thing that I don't see in a lot of modern vampire media at all, to my knowledge.
That's
cool,
though. But I think in this film, there's the plot that Dorsa has pulled up right there. But basically, I'm going to try to go off my memory and not look. I think the plot is... basically, Alucard is this, like, disciple of Dracula, and they know Dracula is somewhere around here, and he like, but I was thinking of this in context with brain damage because he runs, like, a group of hippies, and, like, they're, like, doing, like, they're, like, dropping acid and stuff, like, this, like, vampire with these hippies, and I think his goal is to make them all into vampires to get to the granddaughter of Van Helsing.
Oh.
Yo, that's sick.
And it's Christopher Lee, Count Dracula, and Peter Cushing as, like, the descendant of Van Helsing. So it's, like, the original Dracula actors from the Hammer film, the,
like,
Dracula.
It's, like, 58. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fire.
What was that one vampire movie that we watched that, like, in Vancouver?
Oh.
You know, where they went to that party.
Oh, and The Vampire Happening.
The Vampire Happening.
Oh, I didn't watch that with you guys.
Yeah.
You guys watched a vampire movie without me?
No, it wasn't in Vancouver. It was before that, I think.
Okay. My great memory. That's a B movie, right?
That's definitely a B movie. The vampire it's happening awesome. Is definitely a B movie.
The sex Dracula has a fucking helicopter. And he flies away while doing the rock and roll sign.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Awesome. Wow, this came out a year before the Dracula AD.
1972.
Wow.
Yeah.
There was definitely a market for it then.
For
that,
sure.
That type of film.
Oh, yeah.
But it...
Oh, this is definitely a B-movie. I don't know a single person in this cast.
It's also, like, German.
This is, like, yeah. a... Yeah.
It's, like, it really Italian. Fun. It's just...
It's an Italian producer, but I think it...
It's German.
It is German, yeah. But it was an Italian producer,
which is it's a really fun movie, though.
It is. It's super weird, though.
Yeah.
Oh, it's West Germany. So it was it still...
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was still East and West Germany yeah. when this came out. Wait, yeah. What
the Berlin Wall didn't fall 71. Until the Damn. 80s or 90s,
yeah,
I
that's true. I always forget about that. I've never looked at, I guess, a lot of German films from before the Berlin Wall fell. Because, yeah. like, I've never seen... To my knowledge, to my like memories, having something as a country being West Germany—that
is crazy.
As like the mm-hmm. wow, that's really interesting. But yeah, the Hammer films—they were hammering them out. They really
fucking were, bro.
Because they even did the 1959 Hound of Baskerville.
Oh yeah,
Sherlock adaptation with Peter Cushing as Sherlock Holmes. Yeah, they did some Jekyll and Hyde, Phantom of the Opera, Witches.
I've seen a couple of, like, the random, like...
Oh, yes, the Hammer films,
the Vampire Lovers
they did,
as well.
Yes, the Vampire Lovers, which is a Carmilla adaptation which yep. I haven't seen still. Damn. Also, yeah, Lust recording. For a Vampire.
Oh, they did, they did Fanatic. I watched that recently. It was so good.
1965.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about this lady and... Sorry, I'm going on these like old movie tangents.
That's,
my bad.
That's fine. We're talking about B-movies. This falls
okay,
in.
Okay. Thanks, guys. But it's actually technically hagsploitation, which Ooh. Is one of my favorite genres. And it stars... Oh, can you click on it? It's on mm-hmm. the tip of my freaking tongue, her name. Tallulah Bankhead, who is like a
that
famous...
That was on the tip of your tongue. Oh, Donald Sutherland's in it.
Yeah. Donald Sutherland is in it as like a... He's like... He's like a disabled like guy, okay, living on this in this place. Anyway, so basically, there's this one Patricia, and she is about to get married to this guy, and they're driving, and she's like, "Yo, I was about to marry that other guy before he died. I feel really bad. I want to check in on his mom and see if she's okay and get her blessing for the marriage." And he's like, "Bro, don't go. Like, we're about to get married. Come on. Like, come on, don't go." And she's like, "No, like." It's the right thing to do. I'm going to go see his mom. And she goes to see his mom. And she's a religious fanatic, which okay. is why it's called Fanatic. But I like the original title, Die, Die, My Darling, better, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And it basically she arrives and she's like, hey, like, I was going to marry your son. Like, what's up? Are you okay? And she's like, oh, my gosh, like, it's so good to see you. And they kind of start... She immediately acts strangely towards her. She's like, no, you have to stay for dinner. You have to stay. And she's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll stay for dinner. And basically what ends up happening is it just keeps escalating and keeps escalating. And, like, she's very clearly, like, deeply religiously fanatic to the point where, like, they read, like, passages, like, from the Bible before dinner. And then, like, if anybody talks or anything, it's like, no, like, you can't wear the color red around her because she's like, that's the devil's color. Take it off. Take Whoa. It off. And she ends up kidnapping this woman and holding her hostage in her house and, like, tormenting her. And, like, she's not allowed to wear makeup. She's not allowed to have any mirrors. She's not allowed to, you know, do whatever.
It's like iCarly.
It is kind of like iCarly, actually. I know exactly what you're talking about. But it's, like, basically she's, like, being held captive by Tallulah Bankhead, this old woman. And she kind of is, like, you're not getting out of here, like...
The episode I, Psycho is what I'm referring to.
Yes.
When Nora Derschlitt freaking kidnaps them.
Yes, bro, I love that episode. Same. It is actually so really similar to this film, unironically.
Yeah, because she's an iCarly fanatic.
Yeah.
She's like, guys, sing the song from the thing.
But it's crazy. It's a crazy film. And she has... Bro, Dorsa, I needed to tell you because our actor, River, from this film I directed... Yeah. The son that, like, died. So basically, you find out that her son died by suicide. And the like girl who's gonna marry her is like, that's probably why he committed suicide, because like, you are like crazy.
You're
like,
insane.
She's like threatening her with a gun. Like, she gets stabbed at one point, the girl that's like being held hostage.
My God.
And like at the end, you see a picture of the sun, like a painting, and it looks just like River.
No way. Let me see if I can get this.
Fanatic. I actually looked this up.
But also, it seems to be that Fanatic is the kind of British title. It seems like the U.S. title was Die, Die, My Darling.
That's so weird.
That's what plays in the credits, is Die, Die, My Darling. The beginning is like a cat and mouse, and like the cat catches the mouse.
Aww.
But like, they're like green and like, anyway, it's cool.
Are any of these characters the sun?
You don't see the sun ever. Hold on. I'll look into it. We can move on and I'll try to find the picture.
But yeah, back to the Hammer films. I'm not sure if all of these would be classified as B movies, just because I don't know if they're historical B movies again, and if they were kind of like the main feature.
Oh, they definitely are historical B movies, because this is like a B movie company. This was like exclusively, like, this is the stuff that would play on TV like late at night. Oh yeah, the anniversary of Bette Davis. I've been meaning to watch that.
I think I've heard of this.
A lot of these are actually really entertaining. Like, I seriously recommend like Hammer films.
Strangers of Bombay. They had some, they're Imperial Adventure films. Hammer had some success with films set in the British Empire, such as Strangler from Bombay. Oh, that's great. That's aged beautifully. Oh, yeah. It's saying that kind of they struggled to have their place in the market after kind of Hollywood movies started being as weird as they were. Kind of, it even mentions Rosemary's Baby.
Maybe that's why I think of B movies as an older genre. Because now more mainstream movies are,
yeah,
because
it's kind of hard nowadays, I think, to have a distinction between like B movies and just like indie movies, because I think there's a lot of crossover with that.
Because like, either you have like an indie film or just a low budget film where it's made on like nothing, or you have like a super high budget film, and there's really no in between anymore, because they just aren't approving those films to be made.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, oh, like, you don't know how much profit you're going to get on, like, some middle-of-the-road film, so they just won't make it. Like, there was a new film that came out recently with Benedict Cumberbatch, The Roses?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways,
yeah.
And
I
that's, like,
to see that,
that's, like, a remake of an older film. This isn't horror,
The War of the Roses.
Yeah, something like that. But, I think it's not called The War of the Roses, the new one.
Yeah, the new one's just called The Roses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So but that's a remake, and it was like kind of a mid like budget film.
Right.
And then like not a ton of people went to go see it. Which it looks good. Like, I just haven't seen it. But like,
yeah, $30 million for budget, box office 50.6. Yikes.
Yeah, so like, exactly. So they're just kind of like, people are like, oh, okay, there's no market for this film. You're only going to make, like, what, like, $20 million on it? They're like, that's not enough.
That's
like,
not enough for a studio.
Yeah, and like, they're like, big. That's barely enough to, like, cover, like, advertisement costs and all that good stuff. So I just feel like it's kind of, like, a lost...
Oh, Jay Roach directed it.
...art. Like, people are still obviously making campy films.
Here is my rebuttal to that. I was doing some thinking, and I think the modern day B movies, maybe even C, honestly, are the Tubi originals. Oh my, that looks like River.
Wait,
that,
can I see?
I found a picture of the painting.
That is River Fox.
Oh wow, that does look like
full
River.
Name drop. Shout out to him. Hire him.
Yeah, he's great.
I think the Tubi original movies are our generation's.
You know what? I
B
agree
movies.
With you.
Or Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
Hallmark
But again,
movies.
These are all low budget films.
My Southern Family Christmas.
But the thing is, I think that Tubi films have that have that element of like ridiculousness. That like, have you seen, here, let's look up Tubi original films. Let's just look at some of the titles and posters. Like Texas Twister.
Does that Most Titanic 666?
Yes. What the like let's, what is Titanic 666? Here, let's look at this. This is, you know what, let me look at this on Letterboxd for kind of a more, you know what, actually let's look at the description it has on
Tubi itself.
Dark forces from the deep rise to the surface, terrorizing all aboard Titanic
3,
and threaten to repeat one of history's greatest disasters.
That sounds hilarious.
Oh, it's Titanic 3, 3, 666, yeah. 3 times 2. Oh,
and it's evil. There's ghosts in the iceberg this time.
Tubi,
wow,
original.
Guys, should we watch this?
We should watch every Tubi original
like,
ever made.
That'd be awesome. Can I terror on Tubi? Oh, actually, no. Let's look at, they have, here, let's browse. Shout out Tubi, though. I do love Tubi. Like, I'm not trying to diss on Tubi at all. We all love Tubi.
Yes, we do.
Anything that's providing films for free to people.
Genuinely, it's great.
Love. Tubi original thrills and chills. These are their original horror movies.
Please don't feed the children.
Please don't feed the children. The Great White Waters.
Get off my lawn.
Scariest places in America. Winona Earp Vengeance.
Clickbait unfollowed.
Bro, tarot curse.
Wow.
Scariest monsters in the world.
Scariest places in the world.
Requiem for a scream.
Yo,
bro.
Slay.
That actually looks fun.
That looks good.
And this is not to say that all Tubi originals are bad, but I think, like, they pump them out with such
and they
speed.
Have that campiness to them that B movies are associated with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems like they give a lot of creative control. It seems like.
Does that say Shark Side of the Moon?
Yes.
That's fire.
War of the Worlds Annihilation. Celebrity Exorcism.
The good ending, they get Roger Waters with a shark.
Trinket Box. let's see what Trinket Box is about. A newlywed interracial couple moves into a home set on starting fresh but are visited by historical evil that wreaks havoc on their lives.
Bro, this is every horror movie ever.
I guess it's really important that they're an interracial couple. Is it like a racist ghost that's like, you guys shouldn't be mixing? Like, is it, that would actually be ridiculous. This is called Trap House. A detective falls victim to a trap house full of twisted gadgets made to dismember intruders as he hunts the meth lord who killed his brother.
What?
Okay.
Like, this seems like B movie. Like,
it does.
I want to watch this so badly, but like, sinister surgeon. A young doctor's dream job with a top cosmetic surgeon becomes a nightmare when she fears he may be secretly murdering his patients. How do you secretly murder your patients?
Oh, you like give them.
Oh, yo,
like,
people do that. Like doctors
like
secretly
their
murder.
Drugs.
Yeah, because like, there's that. What was that? That one doctor something? Like, it was like Dr.
Yeah.
Killer or whatever. Like.
Yeah, but his was all mostly malpractice, I think.
Yeah, but there was this one plastic surgeon who was like.
Yes, purposefully killing people.
Purposefully like botching people or like was like injecting people with like cement. And
what?
Shit for like because it was like a really like cheap back alley but like type of plastic surgery thing but like was actually responsible for death. Like there's this one woman that like was transitioning and so she like was seeking kind of anything that she could because of her like crazy gender dysphoria. It's a really sad case and like so she kind of sought out like the cheapest thing that she could get and she was like again injected with like vegetable oil like cement and like had to go through like so many procedures to get that all kind
of
broken
out of your face.
Broken
yeah.
down but thankfully I mean she survived but like
yeah,
that person
great.
I can't remember their name but like it was I think I saw it on some like YouTube video that was like top 10 craziest plastic surgeries or
classic
something like that a couple years ago.
Bro, segue. All of these movies are reminding me a lot of Maniac Cop.
Yes.
This is very Maniac Cop.
Maniac Cop. Let's talk about it. Maniac Cop, which got a sequel. I don't know how many they ended up making. They made 3. They
wow.
made 3. Maniac Cop, Maniac Cop 2, and Maniac Cop 3,
Badge of Silence.
Bruce Campbell is only in the first one. Which is why Mark and I have only seen the
what
first
is
one.
It about?
I'll tell you.
A maniac cop. He's killing people.
Is Bruce Campbell the maniac cop? You're led to believe that.
Yeah.
Oh.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
Let's see the letterbox. Okay. Innocent people are brutally killed on the streets of New York by a uniformed police officer. A young cop, Jack Forrest, finds himself marked as the chief suspect after his wife is murdered. Yeah. Bruce Campbell looks really yummy. Like, it's 1988. That's a
we
good
need to watch a Bruce Campbell movie.
Yeah, like, very soon. We do.
It's late October. We're late.
We can watch Army of Darkness.
Well, first we're gonna watch Evil Dead.
Don't get me excited, guys.
I still haven't seen like the original Evil Dead. I've only seen the retcon.
It's so good.
I've seen Evil Dead. I haven't seen the Evil Dead.
The Evil Dead. You haven't even seen like the Evil Dead, and that has Ash's sister. I think she got Cheryl written out. Yeah. Yeah.
When they retconned it. Because they made the first one, and then they made the second one, which is actually the first one, because they retconned it.
Yeah.
The Evil Dead is just the retconning. Evil Dead again.
It is. Okay. But without all of the friends.
Without all of the friends. It's just him and his girlfriend now at the cabin.
Yeah. And originally it's him, his girlfriend, his sister, his best friend, and his best friend's girlfriend. And they all get picked off one by one, which I really like because... like, I think that'd be horrible. Like, that would honestly be, like, way worse than, like, just your girlfriend. Like, also your best friend, also your sister.
Also, at first, you're like, oh, we're in a big group, we feel safe. But I feel like in the second one, it's just him and his girlfriend. He's just like, oh, I need to keep her safe.
And then it's, like, the Nobi chick. Yeah. And, like, none of that happens in, like, the first one. Like, the ending is left kind of ambiguous. But also, in some ways, it kind of functions as, like, a sequel. Because, like, the Necronomicon is in the first one. And, like, he reads from it and, like... whatever, like, hears it on tape. It's been a while since I watched it. But there's not so much with, like, the Nobi family and, like, unearthing
the Necronomicon. Right, because it's, like, their cabin that, like, they happen to...
Yeah, they just happen to, I think...
Stumble on it
while they're like driving somewhere or something.
Is there a storm in the first one?
There's something.
There's some sort of, like, some road reason. Closure, some something going on.
I watched it, like, a couple years ago. It's kind of very vague, but... yeah, and then there's even...
Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness, but even before that, there's, like, the test film
the short film they did,
It's called Cabin in the Woods?
In the Woods, something like that, but I really respect Sam Raimi's kind of commitment to Evil Dead, because, like, again, it started as this little short film with, like, actually no budget, then they got to do The Evil Dead, and then he basically, a couple years later, like, he could have made a different movie with, like, more budget, but he's like, I'm doing the same thing again. And then he's like, you know what? Army of Darkness. Like, he really, really committed, and I think that shows that, like, obviously, it goes without saying, but let's say it anyways, like, just because something is a lower budget or B movie doesn't mean it's not as worthy of a movie. Like, a lot of fan favorites are B movies, because you get to see... with a lower budget, that means less studio pressure, which usually allows for more creativity for everyone involved, which, you know, results in a more desirable film for people that care about movies and care about film. Literally. But I really respect Sam Raimi's commitment to it, because it shows that he really had a vision. And he's like, no, I am going to make this happen.
Yeah, and I think it's cute. It started, like, the original, like, prototype film is just, like, him and his friends. Like, like him and Bruce Campbell are childhood
friends. You know what? That gives me hope. Yeah. That we can make something that fun.
That's part of the reason, like, I love Evil Dead so much. But also with the retcons, it actually does kill me that there's also retconning in Army of Darkness.
And then there's more retconning.
And then in Ash vs. Evil Dead, there's more.
I really like the retconning they did in Ash vs. Evil Dead, though. They combined all of them. And the way they do it is, like, he's in this kind of, like, storage room, like, stock room.
Yeah, he's
and
in a back
it's
room.
Like, it's, like, projected, like, the clips from the films are projected onto the boxes. So it's like you as the audience get to see it, and I think it's a cool way to play out kind of, like, his memories, to see, like, from this perspective of this character we're seeing now, what is it from the previous things of media that we have seen that is in his canonical knowledge, and, like, you actually get to see it.
I really like how they set it all up in Ash versus Evil Dead. I think it's actually really, really well done. It's better than the other two, three retcons.
I agree. Hey, I mean, third time's the charm, man. Like, you retcon things enough, you figure out the best way to do it.
Because, like, in Evil Dead 2, they're like, oh, the hero from the sky is going to save us. The hero from the sky.
And they get rid of his white streak in his hair that he got at the end of...
beautiful white streak. So sad. So sad. Morgan, I'm so excited for you to experience this for the first time.
I think you'll really appreciate how silly and fun and goofy
it is. Like, it is. Like, every single one of the movies, even the first one, which is the most serious one, like, it is silly.
Yeah, like, at any moment that, like, you're like, wait, I actually might get scared, it's like, wait, this is funny though.
Yeah.
It is. The first one has, like, the crew accidentally in it a lot, right?
I believe it does. And also, fun trivia fact about the first one, there's a lot of scenes with like a shotgun, and there's one scene where like a shotgun is like shot at the camera. That's a real gun. They were like, they real gun shot, shot at the camera. Yeah. They were like, Bruce, don't miss. Dude, like, the cam hop is quivering. Literally. Everyone in the video village. it's a real gun.
Wow. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
No, because my our friend Dustin was
shout out.
Yeah, shout out if he fucking even listens to this. God. Anyways, no, Dustin. I'm just kidding. No, but Sustin. Anyways. No, he was telling me that like they like when they got new technology, they like edited out all of the like
right
crew
like
in
the versions
stuff.
Now like mm-hmm. you might not
yeah
be able
like
to...
you won't be able to find it, and that really depresses Dustin like a lot. They're like,
but
I really want to find it like somewhere like the original version, because it's like silly and fun and I want to see that.
It's
and
probably
I'm just kind of
somewhere.
Sad that they're just erasing.
Yeah,
like
you could probably find it on VHS. I keep saying the wrong acronym. I did this last night as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or there might be some like I don't know, like special edition DVD mm-hmm. or something that has
I could take a look. I could hunt around for that actually.
Yeah.
Yay.
And Dustin can then watch it as he works his Five Nights at Freddy's job that he has.
It's true. He's actually going to be in the new movie with
Josh Hutcherson
and
Matthew Lillard
and Jennifer First body. What's her name? Megan Fox.
Oh, right, because she's voicing Toy Chica. Guys, isn't that a crazy
This is a
bee
movie I'm looking forward to.
It actually is. It actually is. Also, yeah, we can talk about production companies a little bit because, like, A24, it's seen as a very indie thing, but I think less and less as time goes on.
Yeah, now it's more mainstream.
Yeah, oh, it's more sure. mainstream, yeah. And like it gets more critical appraise than it used to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it's seen as like a legit production company, where before they're mm-hmm. like, oh, A24, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Same with Blumhouse. I mean, Blumhouse, like they have made movies that have been received very well and have like made money back. So I think it's whereas, you know, like we said with the Hammer films, like most mm-hmm. of the stuff coming out of that B-movie stuff, but I think it's a little harder for that nowadays. Like, because like you said, it's either like super, super low or like high. There's not a lot of mid-ground
Yeah, because
stuff.
If you have a super low budget, you have the potential to make a ton of money.
Yeah.
And if you have a super high budget, the expectation is you'll make a lot of money.
Yeah,
it's
the
blockbuster.
Margin of profit.
Yeah, so yep. Like, it's like if you, what's it called? Oh my God, Blair Witch. It's like
oh,
Blair
Witch,
how that was like $0, not actually, but it was like super, super cheap, and then they made a bajillion dollars. I'm exaggerating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you're right, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that kind of shit. That's what everyone wants in horror.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quickly, before we talk about Maniac Cop, I also think that, actually, I completely forgot what I was going to say. So
I have one final fun fact to wrap up Evil Dead that I'm actually
okay,
itching
yeah,
to tell
yeah,
you,
yeah.
Morgan, because this relates to what you were saying with like, oh, you're like Dustin is upset that you can't see them in the shots. Fun fact, though, Sam Raimi frequently uses like his friends and stuff to play, like, let's say like there's like a dismembered hand on the ground, like sticking out of something. Like he uses his friend, and then in the credits you can see them as like fake Shemp. Champagne.
Shemp.
That's goat.
They're freaking
kid.
That's their Shemp thing.
Cult.
They're Shemp cult. I don't know. I don't really I still can't really
I think it has to do it's an inside joke, but my hypothesis is it has to do something with Michigan.
Oh.
Because Bruce Campbell loves bringing up the fact that he's from Michigan.
He's
and, like
by
that's
the way,
like,
I'm
where
from
they met. I'm from Michigan. Like that's where they met, and they were like little like college university friends. So my
he talks about like in the 100, Thelonious.
Thelonious Jaha.
Yes,
oh, he's from the City of Light.
That's how he talks about Michigan.
He talks about Michigan like, in the City of Light, we're all friends. In Michigan, we are all one.
Like, Michigan is the most beautiful place in the
Michigan,
world.
Oh, of course, in beautiful Michigan. Anyone listening to this?
I'm
from Michigan. If you haven't checked out Bruce Campbell's Instagram, please. It's a goldmine. Margo hates it. She doesn't
hate it.
She it's a lot of cringe factor to get through, but I find it endearing.
He's not
he's
doing
so
it anymore.
Old. I know.
He doesn't post the filter videos anymore. I think we think he used to smoke pot.
Yes.
And post the filter video. Because he's like, I love pot.
Yes.
And he's always like, happy 420.
I also think all of his like photography photos where he'll post,
so
it's like a sidewalk and he's like, just two paths. It's like some like artsy fartsy like caption like that. And I'm like, he thinks he's eating right now. And I love that for him.
Sorry.
I love that for him. And I find it endearing because I'm like, oh, it's like a little grandpa like finding like filters on Instagram or whatever. Like, I think it's cute.
He also posts his cats a lot.
Yes, he does. His cats, Bonnie and Clyde.
Wow. You have a cat named Bonnie.
I know. And everyone's like, is the other one named Clyde? And I'm like, no, the other one's named Bart.
Literally.
And they're like, you should have named it Clyde. I'm like, she's already named after someone. She's named after Anne Bonny the pirate. And he's named after Bartholomew Roberts the pirate.
Blackbeard.
Yep.
That's actually sick.
Yep, Bart and Bonny. But enough about my cats. Let's talk about Maniac Cop.
Let's round out this episode with Maniac Cop. Oh,
man. This film is absolutely ridiculous. You know what, Margo? Can you try to find our like Letterboxd reviews for...
I don't know if I reviewed it. I will try to find it, though.
If we have it. Or at least just when we watched it. Yeah, the budget for this was $1.1 million, and the box office, it made $671,000.
Wow.
And you know what they decided to do? They're like, let's make... Okay, so there was a power outage.
Yeah.
There was an actual power outage.
So Bruce Campbell didn't like us talking about Michigan, and he cast big lightning bolts out of his hands, and it struck us here in Ontario.
To finish my last thought, $1.1 million budget made around $600,000, and you know what they decided? To make two more. That's what I was going to say before the...
We both rated Maniac Cop 3 stars also, and we watched it on November 23rd, 2024.
Wow. There we go. But it was one of those movies where, like, you know, you watch a movie because you like an actor and you're watching it and you go, is this worth it?
The whole time you're like, I don't know about this one.
It's so very much an 80s movie in some of the worst ways. Bruce Campbell does play a cheater. He does cheat on his wife.
He cheats on his wife and then she dies.
Which was really sad for us because we'd seen this clip
of
him.
He's in the second one. We lied earlier.
He is in the second one, but I don't think he's really in the second one. I don't know if he's in the second
one. Maybe it's like a flashback?
Yeah, something like that. But I think he like didn't want to do the second one.
Yo, Danny Trejo is in the second one.
Yo, Danny Trejo.
As a prisoner.
Oh, of course. He's always playing criminals, like in freaking Con Air.
Oh, and the early Sam Raimi films called Within the Woods, not Cabin in the Woods.
Within the Woods.
Sorry.
Yeah, but like Margo and I had seen this like clip of Bruce Campbell with his shirt off and we're like, wait, he looks so good here. And we watched the movie and it's like, no, it's when he's cheating on his wife. Like, we're heartbroken.
No.
And like he's getting out of jail and like they got him like this white t-shirt and like... great. Yeah. It's great. Like, even if you don't like horror movies, just watch Bruce Campbell's movies to ogle over him, to be honest.
Oh, okay. The second one, like, I was like, why did they make a second one? Because the budget was so bad. This one was a direct-to-video in 1990. Because I was like, I can't find anything about the box office. And then for the third one, it was...
on HBO? Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Why?
It was released on video cassette.
Negative reviews
after airing on HBO,
but like it got retrospective critical praise.
By who? The plot starts with a voodoo priest. What? This is not about a Maniac Cop anymore. What's going on?
This is actually just like Halloween.
Yeah,
like that one Halloween movie we were talking about last week.
Wow. Okay, so, and also in the third one, apparently it was a black detective, but they just didn't cast a black person, so it was no longer about that. Great.
What?
Love that. Beautiful, beautiful, amazing casting, amazing, amazing, just lovely, definitely aged beautifully.
Great job, team.
Great job, team. We survived that power outage. Actually, my heart dropped when the power went out. I was like, oh, so we've been recording for an hour. Pretty much.
Yeah.
And but we actually were ready to do it again.
Yeah, we were.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much we love you guys. That's how much we're committed to this.
That's true.
As always, you can always send us questions, comments.
We have an email.
We do have an email.
I don't think a single person has sent us an email, guys.
I think that the episode that I said the email in, like,
just released not that long ago.
It did.
Let me check my email. Let's check.
But it is just Movie Maidens, yes?
Pod.
Oh.
Pod. Movie Maidens.
Oh, no, it's
pod.
Just from Google.
At gmail.com.
Yeah, it's
guys.
Movie Maidens Pod.
You
at
could literally
gmail.com.
Get a shout out on this podcast and tell all of your friends.
Yeah. And I asked my friend to our friend, sorry. Just because they texted me, so I keep going to say my friend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm not gonna shout him out here because I asked him what he wanted me to say on the air and he said that's too much pressure. So
well, you ended up saying it anyway though.
Yeah,
but he didn't even say anything.
You don't know who
it
is.
Yeah.
It's a secret.
Secret.
The movie Maiden Secret.
He'll just hear this when it airs. Eventually.
Maidens know.
Yeah.
But seriously, any future episode ideas, anything like that, any questions about us,
if you're,
anything, guys.
If you're sitting at home, you're wringing your hands, you're going, oh my, I don't know what to send to Movie Maidens. Oh, well, me, Margot, I have the email. I have the keys to the email.
True.
You could go on Pinterest, look up Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
Download.
You know,
download,
if you somehow find a pin of Bruce Campbell on Pinterest that Margot and I haven't already saved, you will get a reward.
Yeah, you'll get a full shout out.
Because we have a board with pictures of it. It has over 1,000 pins.
That's awesome.
Yes. Yes.
So,
there's not much we haven't seen.
Seriously, anything, guys. Let us know. But we hope you enjoyed our spooky episodes.
We have one more.
Ooh, yeah, we do.
Next week's our last week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Last week for Halloween Hangover.
But don't worry, guys. We will keep talking about horror movies because we like horror movies.
Yer.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, for oh yeah,
yeah
no,
we
for
haven't
pork.
Even
oh, yeah, no, for pork. For pork seeds.
And the freaking beans, too.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, for pork. Buddy, you're porked.
What is this?
That's, it's Kevin.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure, buddy, you're porked.
Me when I see John.
Don't even talk about Richard Cheese.
I won't. The recording artist?
Yeah. Okay, well, that wraps up our episode. Thank you so much for
Please
listening to
Evil
us.
Dead. Yes.
Please watch Evil Dead. And we
brain
will...
Brain damage. Oh.
Yeah, and brain damage. And you will hear us next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.